You guys can get your Bibles out and go to 1 Chronicles chapter 15. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. All right, so in 1 Chronicles 15, this is David getting ready to go and pick up the ark that he had tried to do once before, and of course it didn't turn out very well. He made some mistakes there, and kind of want to look at that tonight. But in verse 1, it says this of chapter 15, "And David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. Then David said, No, not to carry the ark of God, but the Levites, for them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of God unto his place, which he had prepared for it. David assembled the children of Aaron and the Levites of the sons of Kohath, Uriel the chief and his brethren, 120. Of the sons of Merari, Asaiah the chief and his brethren, 220. Of the sons of Gershom, Joel the chief of his brethren, 130. Of the sons of Elizaphan, Shemaiah the chief and his brethren, 200. Of the sons of Hebron, Eliel the chief and his brethren, 80. The sons of Uziel, Aminadab the chief, and his brethren, 112. And David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priests and the Levites, for Uriel, Asaiah, Joel, Shemaiah, and Eliel, and Aminadab, and said unto them, Ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God hath made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order." And we can pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you just last time tonight. And Lord, we are grateful that you got everybody back. And Lord, it'll be good to get things back to normal here. But Lord, I just pray that you would be with us now. I pray that you would be with what is to be said tonight. Lord, the sermon that I do believe that you have me preach, Lord, I pray that you would help and guide and just help it to come out right, Lord. I don't want to complicate anything. I don't want to make anything harder than it is. So Father, I pray that you'd wash me in your blood. I pray that you would give assistance here tonight. Again, without you, Lord, we're just very well aware that it's pointless. And so we ask you to please help. And we pray that you'd be with the message now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in verse 13 is what I would really like to preach on tonight. And it says, "Because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order." And so tonight I'd like to preach about the due order. Now, if there is anything that we know about God, it is that he is a God of order. If you will, just real quickly, keep your hand in Chronicles. We're going to stay there most of the night. But if you will, just flip over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And of course, you have this is talks a lot. Paul's starting to get into tongues and gifts and things like that, or he already has. But at the end of verse, look at chapter 15, 14, verse 40, says this. Actually, I'm gonna back up a little bit. Verse 39, "Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid to speak with tongues." And look what he says. He says this. He says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." God is a God of order. The Bible says in Psalm 37:23, it says, the steps of a good man are what? They're ordered by the Lord, right? It is not something that... even when you get down to our church services, what do we try to do? We try to keep it in order, right? You just try to have an order of things. You don't really see this here. I think I've only seen it once, but in the South, it's a lot more prevalent when you get people singing and stuff like that. Sometimes people get excited and they will do what they call as testifying, and they will stand up in the middle of the songsters and they will testify. And it's different, and I'm not saying it's wrong, but then it turns into this thing of, then this guy wants to say something, and this guy wants to say something, and they're all outdoing each other, you know, and it's not decently in order. And so, but God is a God of, he's a God of order. And the Lord shows David what they did wrong. And in verse 13, it says this, David says, the Lord God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. Now, I don't want to give the wrong impression about approaching God, because it's not difficult, right? It's not. I mean, it is not hard to kneel down. You don't have to go through these special services to be able to get on your knees and pray, right? You don't have to. So I don't want to make it sound hard. I don't want to make it sound complicated. But there are ways that you can approach God. And it was much more so like this in the Old Testament, but some of it bleeds through into the New Testament. And so I would just like to talk, first of all, about the first approach that they made and what was wrong with it. David said, "For that we sought him not after the due order." And so I would like to say in... first of all, I'd just like to talk about their first approach. And if you will, go to verse 1 of chapter 13. Just very simply, something I would like to say is this. It says in verse 1, "And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader." And, you know, I would just like to say that the first approach that they made was, it was an approach made without any counsel from God. And for them, it was obviously different, because I'm likening this as approaching unto God, but they're approaching, they're getting ready to get this ark and bring it back and bring it into Jerusalem. They didn't have it in the days of Saul, one of these passages said. And so they knew that they needed the ark, right? They knew that they needed it. It was a good idea. They knew that it belonged in Jerusalem, right? They knew that they needed it. But it says David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. It doesn't say that David consulted with the Lord. And that was one mistake that he made. And, you know, you need to make sure that when you do something for the Lord, that it's not the idea of the people, right? You don't need to make sure that you have the okay from the people, right? I'm not bashing counsel. I'm not saying that you shouldn't talk to somebody and say, "Hey, you know, I was thinking about this. What do you think?" I'm not talking about bouncing ideas off of somebody and asking for counsel. But when that's all that you go for, and you don't sit there and say, "Okay, Lord, now, what do you want, though?" And it just says that David consulted with the captains of thousands. You shouldn't depend on the people to define right and wrong for you. Right? You shouldn't depend on others. That should be something between you and the Lord. And you need to be taking counsel with the Lord and saying, "Lord, what do you want me to do? Is it right?" That's a good question. Ask the Lord, "Is this right?" But you don't, I mean, you can ask the people, but that shouldn't be the final authority, right? And so listen, of course, for them to get the ark, it was a good idea, but you need to seek the Lord. And you need to make sure that it is through God that you're going to do something. Now, they approached the Lord another way, I think, and I would just like to point out that if you read the story, you read this account, I think that it was an approach made by a lazy mind. They knew, I mean, I say they knew what to do. I mean, they didn't do what they were supposed to do. But listen, I mean, it's just like, guys, how can you do this? Were you away so long that you forgot how to do things? You know, it was uh, in, it was in 1 Samuel, I believe it was 1 Samuel chapter 8. You know, there was 50,000 men, just over 50,000 men that died because they looked in the ark. Now, that was 20 years ago. That's a little bit of time. But did you forget that though? Did you forget about that? I mean, why was it a shock to them when Uzziah died? It should not have been a shock to them. It should not. I mean, the Lord had it all set up, and it shouldn't have been a shock to them that Uzzah was struck dead. And so they forgot to do their homework. They forgot to seek the Lord and say, okay, Lord, how should we do this? If, you know, just real quick for context of this, just go to Numbers chapter 4. Go to Numbers chapter 4. They forgot to seek him after the due order. And God did very much have an order for the way that they should approach him in the Old Testament. Don't get me wrong, we have that in the New Testament as well, but it's very different. But in Numbers chapter 4, look at verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, Take the sons, some of the sons of Kohath from among the sons of Levi, after their families, by the house of their fathers. From 30 years old and upward, even until 50 years old, all that enter into the host do the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. This shall be the service of the sons of Kohath, and in the tabernacle of the congregation about the most holy things. And when the camp setteth forward, Aaron shall come and his sons, and they shall take down the covering veil, and shall cover the ark of testimony with it, and shall put thereon the covering of badger skins, and shall spread over it a cloth holy of blue, and shall put in the staves thereof." And you guys know the story. Those priests were supposed to bear that ark, right? That was their duty. That was their burden. So they had a due order given. But they didn't go back and look, say, okay, you know, this is a pretty serious thing that we're going to endeavor on. Maybe we should seek the Lord and just see if there's something that we forgot. Because apparently they forgot a whole bunch. So they approached the Lord with a lazy mind. Now, another thing I'd like to say in verse, in chapter 13 of 1 Chronicles, I would like to say that they made an approach without proper respect. And one thing that you need to have for the Lord is a proper respect. Now, some of these points you could they kind of probably mesh into one another a little bit. So you could probably say this about all of these points. But look what it says in chapter 9 or 13, verse 9. Look what it says. "And when they came unto the threshing floor of Kidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God." Uzzah should have known better than this. And I don't know, I don't want this to ever happen to me, but Uzzah just, I don't know. I don't know if it's just the fact that he became too familiar with the holy. And you don't ever want that to happen, where you just take things for granted. And you just become so familiar with God. You know, it's, you know, talking about respect. You know something that I never said to my parents? I never told them to shut up. Even if we were joking around, I never called them names. Why? They're my parents, right? I had that proper respect. And Uzzah and also David, I mean, they don't have that proper respect. They've been away from the holy for too long, but they also just become so familiar with it. Verse 11, look what it says. "And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore, that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day." And, you know, it makes it sound like it was God's fault. I mean, the way that verse it says, David was displeased with the Lord. Lord, you shouldn't have done that. Oh, wait a second. This is not how this goes. This is not how we roll, okay? And listen, the Lord, it was all David's fault. And yet for David, it's just like, Lord, why did you do that? It's like, no. And they didn't approach the Lord with a proper respect. In verse 9, it says, "And when they came unto the threshing floor of Kidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. And he smote him there, because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God." I would also like to say that the way they approached doing this whole thing, it left absolutely no room for error. They couldn't make one mistake. I mean, they were already doing this wrong, and so they didn't know it, but they needed to tread very, very lightly. And there was no room for error. All Uzzah did, the oxen stumbled. It wasn't even his fault. But that's all that had to happen. All that had to happen was just an ox to stumble, and then you had a huge mistake. It was a huge mistake. So when you do things your way, when you don't do things in the proper due order, you know what? The result may just be collateral damage, and you may not be able to fix it. Uzzah was not going to come back, right? The Lord wasn't just going to reach down and touch Uzzah like he grabbed that ear and touched that ear and came right back on, right? And Malchus is good. It wasn't like that. Uzzah was dead. And listen, they left no room for error. And listen, when you try to serve the Lord and you try to approach him the way you should and you try to follow him the way you should, guess what? There is room for error. I'm not saying that it's okay that you make an error, but you can cling to the blood of Jesus Christ and you will be okay. That's why he has that in place. That's what they did, and their approach, it left no room for error. And so all that had to happen was just an ox had to stumble. And then Uzzah is dead. Now, something else that I'd like to show you is in verse 6, it says, "And David went up and all Israel to Baalah," that is to Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, "to bring up thence the ark of God, the Lord, that dwelleth between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart." I would like to say that they made their approach with worldly influences. And you got to be careful with this, because you know what? Why did they do this? How come it was they did it in this manner? Why did they do it that way? It was just chance. Maybe they just did it by chance. I don't think so. Do you really think that it was done without any kind of influence? There is an influence there. There is an influence. And listen, it was a worldly influence. This wasn't them getting together and saying, "Okay, guys, we got to think of a way. Let's just brainstorm and kind of talk about this and figure out if we can come up with a way to transport this ark. How should we do it?" It didn't just happen. There was something back there in their minds, and they thought, "Oh, I got an idea. Let's do this. Let's build a new cart. Let's build a cart. That's a good idea. That'll work. It'll be strong enough. It'll be brand new just for the Lord. He'll love it. It'll be comfortable for him in there. It's a good idea. Let's build a new cart for the Lord. Let's build a new cart." It was a worldly influence. And this is why it was a worldly influence. If you will, go to 1 Samuel. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 6. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 6. They approached the Lord with a worldly influence. Chapter 6, and let's look at verse 1. "The ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistines 7 months. And the Philistines called for the priests and the diviners, saying, 'What shall we do to the ark of the Lord? Tell us wherewith shall we send it, wherewith we shall send it to his place.'" And so you guys know what they do. They make some images. They make an image of of the emeralds, and they decided to place. They offer that as a peace offering, a trespass offering, if you will. And look at what it says in verse 6. "Wherefore then do ye harden your hearts as the Egyptians and Pharaoh hardened their hearts when he had wrought wonderfully among them, did they not let the people go and they departed? Now, look at what they say. Look at what they say in verse 7. Now, therefore, make a new cart, take two milk kine, on which there hath come no yoke, and tie the kine to the ark, and bring their calves home from them. And take the ark of the Lord, and lay it upon the cart, and put the jewels of gold which ye returned him for a trespass offering in a coffer by the side thereof, and send it away that we may go. Why do you think those guys decided to build a new cart? It was a worldly influence from the Philistines. They remember that ark coming in on that cart, and they're sitting there thinking, like, oh, you know what? I remember those Philistines. They built this cart, and it was a brand new cart. I mean, you could tell. I mean, the wood was new. It was green. It was brand new. They built a new ark. Guys, I think we should do that. And listen, that's what they did. So they had worldly influence in their approach to the Lord. And you got to be careful about your worldly with your worldly influences that you have. And you don't approach God with their ideas. You don't approach God with their philosophies. You know, one thing that's very common, and a lot of people roll their eyes these days to this, but you know what can be a very powerful thing, a very powerful way to approach God is music. Music is a very powerful way to approach God. You look at the way music was set up in the Bible, and it's kind of a crazy thing when you look at it, but listen, it's very powerful. You don't approach him in worldly influences. You don't approach him that way. You know, you look at some of these Christian bands, you know. And seriously, I mean, the guys, I think they have to Vaseline their legs before they jump in their pants so they can get their pants on. They're so tight. It's like, guys, seriously, like, couldn't you buy a little bit bigger size? Like, really? I mean, and why is it? And well, whatever. But why is it that they look like faggots? Why is that? That is a worldly influence to approach God. And that is not how we're supposed to approach God. You know what it produces? I mean, look what it produces. If you will, I'm going to go back to our passage. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 13. 1 Chronicles chapter 13. This is what it produces. And I already read the verse, but look at verse 10, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before the Lord. And it displeased, and David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore the place is called Perez Uzzah unto this day. It's almost like David is confused. It's like David is just like, but Lord, we were trying to get the ark back so that we could have a full tabernacle. And why would you? It produces confusion. Why? What do you have? You have, it's God, but it's these words, they glorify you and they honor you, but the music doesn't at all. It produces confusion. It produces confusion. You need to approach God without your worldly influences. You don't approach him with them. And so that was their first approach. Excuse me. That was their first approach. Okay. Now, I want to look at the results of their first approach here for a second. If you will look at verse 11. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore, that place is called Perez Uzzah unto this day. To this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? And David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. It was the first result of their approach to God was a direct result of their fear. Excuse me, it was a direct result of their sin. When they approached God, listen, you know what it produced in them? You know what that sin produced? It produced fear. And listen, you know the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but not that kind of fear. You know, God's fear doesn't prevent you from saying, oh, I don't think I can serve him. I'm scared to. It doesn't produce that. But your sin will produce that. Your sin will cause you to fear God and be afraid of him so that you won't serve him. It will cause you to stop short. Look what it says. It says in verse 12, verse 13, so David brought not the ark the ark home to himself. I mean, he was supposed to go all the way with it, right? Why didn't he? Because he was afraid. Why? Because of his sin. His fear caused him to stop short. That's not a good fear. That's not the kind of fear that God produces. You know, he says at one point, he says, let me be your fear. He says, let me be your dread. Why? Because when you sin, you don't need to fear them. You need to fear God, right? And it produces a healthy type of fear, right? But you're not, I'm not scared of him, right? And I know this verse can be very misquoted, but the Bible says perfect love, what? Casteth out fear. And when you have that love for Jesus Christ, and when you have that love for God, and you serve him and approach him the way that you should, you can have a healthy fear, but you're not scared of him. That is the real problem. That is the real problem. And this is not the first time. Look at chapter 21. This is not the first time that David ran into this problem. This has come up, or this is going to come up again for David. Chapter 21, this is David's great sin. David numbers the people, and look what it says. The plague came on, and it killed all those men. Look at verse 30. But David could not go before the Lord. Excuse me. David could not go before it to inquire of God. Why? For he was afraid because of the sword of the angel of the Lord. Why was David so afraid? It's because of his sin. And that sin will bring fear, and it will cripple you if you're not careful. Here's a good example. Genesis 3. Hey, Adam, why are you hiding? Oh, I was afraid because of his sin, right? Sarah, did you... Why'd you laugh? Oh, I didn't laugh. She's afraid. It says that she was afraid. Why? Because of her sin. See, your sin will cause you to be afraid of God, and it will not allow you to go farther. Jacob, what is your deal? Why are you lining up all of these people? What is going on? I mean, you're going to see your brother. Shouldn't this be a reunion? I mean, what is... Oh, well, I'm afraid. Well, why are you afraid? What's... It's Esau. Yeah, I'm afraid of him. Why? Because of his sin, right? Hey, Reuben, Simeon, guys, what's... Your brother just revealed himself to you. Isn't this a great reunion? I mean, what's the problem? Oh, well, we're actually afraid because of what we did to him before. See, they were afraid because of their sin. It was a result of their sin. So it'll cause you to stop short of what you need to do. So why don't you just do it God's way and it'll turn out? Listen, I mean, there. Like I said, there may be error in there at some point. You may do something wrong, but you're doing it God's way. And that's the important thing. Now, thankfully, they get this right. I'd like to look at the second approach. They make a second approach. And look at the contrast of how the first approach was made and how the second approach was made. Look at verse 1 of chapter 15. And David made him houses in the city of David, and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. Their second approach, you know, it was made with a forethought. I mean, they thought about this. David's like, you know what, guys? After what happened, he's like, I think that this thing should have a tent to dwell in. And I'm going to make a special tent for this thing to dwell in. And he thought about it. And look at verse 2. And David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and minister unto him forever. You know, what did they do? They started to seek him after the due order. the way that God had it planned out and the way the Lord said, hey, you need to do it this way. And so David says, guys, that's the way we're going to do it. Let's do it that way. Listen, everything will turn out. Let's do it this way. And that was their second approach. And listen, in verse 1, and David prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. I mean, he pitched a tent for it. And listen, when you do something God's way, you'll find yourself going the extra mile. You'll want to do something for the Lord and say, I think, guys, we could do it this way too. Let's go ahead and build a tent for it. And you'll go that extra mile for the Lord. And David, listen, David at that point wanted everything just right. Just right. And that's great. But how much easier would it have been? How much easier would our lives be if we just did it the right way the first time? And so that was their second approach. It was an approach made with personal cleansing. Look at verse 12. And he said unto them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto a place that I have prepared for it. He says, sanctify yourselves. And you know, I don't know. I mean, I've mentioned this in recent past, so I'm sorry. I'm really not trying to repeat myself. But listen, you need to sanctify yourself. There needs to be a personal sanctification. And listen, you know what? When you start doing that, maybe we would all get a little bit more out of church if we took the time to what? Look inside, right? And prepare ourselves. And again, I'm sorry this is kind of a repeat right now, but I mean, how much more would we get out of our Bible if we just approached with a little bit of personal cleansing? How much better would the fellowship be? Our prayer life. You know, it's not easy. We've heard a few good sermons on prayer recently. But personal witnessing, how much more would you get out of it? How much more could the Lord maybe use you and feel free to use you if there was what? Just maybe a little bit more personal cleansing. And go to chapter 15, verse 29. Look at chapter 15, verse 29. You know, in the first point, I said that they had an approach that left no room for error. And listen, things will go wrong, right? There will be things that don't work out. But look at verse 29. And it came to pass, as the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out the window, saw King David dancing and playing, and she despised him in her heart. And you know what happened? There was an error that was made. But David's covered. Why? Because he's approaching the Lord, what? The right way. He's approaching the Lord the way that he should approach him. And so there is room for error, right? You just got to make sure that it's not on your part. And if it is, like I said earlier, you do what? You cling to that blood and you plead that blood. Because something will go wrong. But when you are doing right and you are serving the Lord, something is going to go wrong, right? It's going to happen. You're going to fall. Somebody else is going to fall around you. David didn't tell Uzzah to touch the ark, right? But there was no room for error at that point because David had already made all these bad decisions on how he should approach. But here, it's a little bit different. So there was room for error on David's part because he was doing it God's way. Now, just in closing, I would like to show the result of the second approach. The first result was fear. Look at the result of the second approach is. Look at verse 25 of chapter 15. Look what it says. So David and the elders of Israel and the captains of thousands went to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with fear. No, it was actually exact opposite, with joy. And listen, that is a result of their second approach. When they're approaching the way that they should. This time they had joy. And listen, you will enjoy the Lord and everything else way more when you do something the right way. The due order that God has. And there is a due order. David says, The Lord our God made a breach upon us, for we sought him not after the due order. And there is a due order. And listen, this second time, David got it right. And what happened? They were joyful. The city was joyful. Everybody was joyful. And there was no damper on the meeting by some guy getting zapped to death, just like that, right? And that was a result of their second approach. So I don't know if you have thought about the way you approach the Lord. Like I said, I don't want to make it complicated because it really isn't. But maybe there are some of these things where, you know, you're in the world all the time and you're hearing what the world has to say. And you look at the news and you're getting fed their thoughts, their philosophies. And if you're not careful, that stuff will start to stick to you. You know, somebody told me, they said, yeah, you know, I was, I don't really have anything to listen to, and I don't have anything on my phone. So, you know, I started listening to the Daily Wire. And he's like, yeah, I was listening to Daily Wire. You know, I mean, it's, you know, fairly decent. You know, he's like, but you know what? He goes, I still found myself starting to think like them. And he goes, he's like, I had to stop. Why? Because even that, it started to affect him a little bit. It started to affect the way he thought. And you shouldn't be approaching the Lord in your worldly influences. Leave that outside. Don't allow that stuff to stick to you. And so listen, you need to approach the Lord, and it's not complicated, but listen, you need to leave that stuff behind. So let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we just we thank you for the night. I pray that